Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, a very pleasant good evening and welcome to the show. A lot of hurricane talk coming up for you tonight. Going to talk Hurricanes football, going to talk college football playoff, going to talk Cam Ward, going to talk the Pop-Tart Bowl, and then we're going to talk University of Miami basketball as well with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Josh Darrow also on the show, as always, Don Bailey. So a big show coming up for you here tonight. Delighted that you are with us for the next 2 hours talking University of Miami Hurricanes athletics. All right, Don Bailey Jr., good evening. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Joseph. Getting ready for that Pop-Tart Bowl. I was out at the University of Miami today and got to spend some time with the guys and watch them working. And they're going at it, man. They're taking it very, very, very seriously.
Yeah, we're going to jump into that Pop-Tarts Bowl in one moment. First, Cam Ward finishes fourth in the Heisman Trophy, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. I thought up until November he was going to win. He defeated Georgia Tech and Syracuse. I actually think where it got jackknifed for Cam Ward was the Georgia Tech game. The last play of the game was the fumble, and then the next week they're off. So between the fumble, the loss, and being off, I think he kind of went off the map.
No, I don't disagree with you on, and also how it works too is to me the most disappointing part for him is I certainly think he earned it. I really do. And if you look back at the season and his ability to dig Miami out of a hole, whether it was against Virginia Tech or whether it was against Cal, and some of the big wins that he had. And the other players certainly have their own story and their own bid for it. But I think Cam Ward, without question, would have made as big an impact on any team in the country, and even more so than those other players. I mean, you put him anywhere, and I think his impact would have been felt at a greater level.
What do you think his impact overall for the University of Miami program, not only this year, but going forward?
What's nice about him, and fortunately for me, I've been around all of these great quarterbacks, is he established a new standard, Joe. And it was not only the standard of touchdown passes and yards and All-American, but it was the standard of a work ethic. It was a standard of a professional approach every single solitary day. It was how he set an example on how to manage the media, how to manage the fame, how to manage that whole building. And I was having a conversation with somebody today, and when you look at and came in to today, and I look at how much Emery Williams has benefited from that and how his approach is different to the game, how he interacts differently with the players, how he handles himself and what he's done. And, you know, the influence from him on everybody else on this team, make no mistake about it. The reason Miami is going to be in a position to win this football game against Iowa State and not a total exodus like we've seen at other places around the country is Cam Ward. And Cam Ward has set a new standard at Miami that this is how the quarterback position needs to be handled. This is how the leadership council needs to direct a team. And this is how the standard is right now at the University of Miami. So he blessed that program far more than his statistics will ever show.
So all indications are that he's going to play. He's been practicing. All indications are that he's going to play. He does have some motivation to play in this bowl game. He needs one more touchdown pass. One more touchdown pass would give him 156 career touchdown passes, which would make him the all-time leader in career touchdown passes in Division I college football. Gabriel is behind him a little bit at 153. So if he wants to pad it, he could play the entire game and throw three or four or five, whatever it is to his delight. But he does have some motivation to play in this game personally.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, I'm sure he's aware of it. But his motivation goes way back to being a zero-star recruit coming out of high school. And his motivation is from Incarnate Word, and you know, and his climb is what I think motivates him. I'm sure he's absolutely aware of all the records because they're just posted everywhere. But his motivation, I think, comes from a place.
We're going to be down a couple of players. We don't know how this is all going to shake out. I think the portal closes on Sunday. It's open until Sunday, then it closes. So I suppose bowl game rosters would be set by Sunday. I think that's how it works. Meanwhile, Miami does have some portal news. Zachariah Poyser, a safety from Jackson State, has committed to the University of Miami. Highly sought after by SEC schools, 3 interceptions for Jacksonville State, 75 tackles. So Mish Powell will leave. Zachariah Poyser will come in, and he'll join, of course, Markeith Williams and Zaquan Patterson. We could have the ZZ defense, I guess. ZZ secondary, I suppose. At any rate, we'll see how it all shakes out. Iowa State, 133 years of college football for Iowa State. This is the first time they've ever won 10. They've never won 11. Cam Ward will be throwing into a secondary that was number one in the Big 12. Overall, their defense, total defense, is number 40, but they do have an experienced secondary. They play a 3-3-5 defense. They gave up 161 yards a game against the pass, more against the run. They did have 14 interceptions. So pretty good secondary he'll be tossing the ball against.
Pretty good defense and an excellent football team. I mean, their coach is really built as close to a dynasty by their standards as you can build. And that's why they re-signed him. And, you know, the quarterback position there is he plays a good game. He can run, he can throw, they're comfortable. They got two wide receivers that are as good of tandem as there is in the country. Both of those guys are over 1,000 yards. One of them's from South Florida, and They've got a running game that helps every part of their deal. It helps the offense and it helps the defense. And they are a well-coached team, Joe, and Miami is going to be a dogfight for 60 full minutes. I really believe that. And if you don't think so, I would encourage all Hurricane fans to go watch.
Well, they've scored 30 or more points. Conference. Yeah, they've scored 30 or more points in five of their nine Big 12 games. Rocco Becht is their quarterback. You have something in common with him. His father is the analyst for the New York Jets. He works with Bob Wischusen.
Oh, there you go. I think he was a West Virginia guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, played tight end in the league. The son's done a good job. He's a little undersized. They list him at 6'1". He's 6'1", like I'm 6'2", but Miami should get some batted balls or could get some batted balls. The kid, Jaden Higgins, going to be a fascinating story for us because he went to Westminster Christian High School. How is it possible? Nobody saw this kid. And they went to, I don't know, Eastern Kentucky. And he's 6'4", 215 pounds, 87 catches this year. This will be his 49th game. He's had a touchdown in 15 of the last 26 games. He went to Westminster Christian.
Yeah, think about that, Joe. And when you watch him on tape, he's very impressive. Again, he could start at the University of Miami. They'd be happy to have him here right now, as well as his counterpart. But he makes every single catch, can make the circus catch, and he's one heck of a target. And I promise you that quarterback back is happy to have him to throw to.
They touched on their defense. The defensive coordinator is a guy named John Haycock. He's been around a long time. I think he might have been in Nebraska. At any rate, I'm not quite sure I've ever seen this number. They've held four opponents to under 100 yards passing. Like, you and I could gain 100 yards passing in most games.
Well, if you watch them close, you can see how that can happen. They do a good job with the pass rush. And more importantly, their corners, I think, are greatly underrated. And all three safeties, you know, they run that three safety deal, are very, very impressive. And they're a well-coached defense. And, you know, when you hear the Miami offensive staff talk about that defense, they realize that it's going to be a long day, and it's going to take a lot of success for Miami to win the game.
I'll tell you, they sort of remind me of a better version of Virginia, or when Virginia was great.
Virginia's
never been great, but you know, when Virginia was very good, maybe if you go back to like the Al Groh days or somewhere in there, they kind of remind me of Virginia. And you look at this, and now these guys play, who knows, it could change, but they got a defensive back, Porter. This will be his 65th game. Purchase number five, that'll be his 52nd game. The safety, Freeler, who they absolutely love, 51st game. You don't see these numbers in college football. Jeremiah Cooper will be his 34th game. Freeler has six career interceptions. Porter's got three. Cooper's got seven. So they have a nose for the ball back there. All that being said, Miami has the number one offense in the country.
Well, you and I love, if it's your team, you love all that experience. And that's why they were able to be in the championship game, is because of that experience. And, you know, the style of defense, they've got three defensive linemen that are very, very stout and powerful. And the guy Orange is one of the best defensive tackles that I've seen this year. And again, it's a bit of an oddity with a true three down front. Now they run some other fronts. They'll give you some four man look and some bear as well, but they make a living on that. But it is all focused around number 17. And that's why he's the leading tackler. He's the middle safety. And his size is outstanding. He's got great range. And they just funnel everything to him.
Yeah, he played well against Arizona State. They don't beat themselves. They are fourth in the country in least amount of penalties. Did a pretty good job protecting the ball until the Arizona State game where they coughed it up three times in a row. But they will not, they do not get penalties. They've had 51 penalties the entire year. They average just over 25 yards a game in penalties. By comparison, they've had 51. Miami's had 80. That's something Miami's going to have to fix in the future. Although it almost doesn't matter who the coach is. Since they've been in the ACC, the number's always the same.
Well, you know, Joe, I think I don't know how to explain it, but you go back in history. If you go back to the Coach Snellenberger's era, there's always Miami has always been on the upper end of the penalties, and I under different coaches, under different systems, under different defenses, under different championships, they all just seem to get them. And I would tell you against Syracuse, a lot of them were pretty good calls. That holding call wasn't very good, but you know, the George call was. So, I mean, there's, you know, it's just, you just got to work on it. And it's something they talk about every single day.
In our next segment, we're going to bring Josh on. We're also going to dive into these playoff games a little bit, the ACC games. I did want to mention this. In the autopsy of the University of Miami finishing outside of the playoff, there was some discussion about why was Miami not more scrutinized along the lines of the other two lost teams, like Penn State and Ohio State. Penn State and Ohio State kind of breezed in to this college football playoff, and so did Indiana. You know, you look at Indiana's schedule, their non-conference schedule. They played FIU, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. Their toughest game of the season was Ohio State, which they got clobbered in. They played the bottom half of the Big Ten. They played Maryland and Northwestern. They got Washington this year when Washington was down. Michigan State was down. Michigan was down. They beat them by five. But Miami wasn't really compared to Indiana and or Penn State or Ohio State. And some of that, some of the belief inside the league is that it has to do, obviously, with the ACC brand, which gets you to, well, how are they going to fix the brand? And one of the discussions, you can believe this, was scheduling. And one of the discussions has been, well, maybe we should go back to divisions. They just got rid of the divisions. But maybe they should go back to the divisions, which I don't know that that's going to make any difference. What will make a difference, Don, is this. And they're going to have to do this somehow, some way. And Miami's going to be in the middle of it. They have to have the brands play each other. And Miami did not play Clemson. Clemson, let's see, they did not play. They played Virginia Tech this year. They played Florida State. They did not play Carolina. Florida State did not play Virginia Tech. The brands, Miami, Clemson, Florida State, Virginia Tech. And I'll throw North Carolina in there. Now they got Belichick, and they play nobody coming up this year. They got to play each other, and they've got to make more compelling matchups. They got to make it fair. You know, Miami shouldn't have to play Clemson, Florida State, and Carolina all in a row, which has happened in the past. They got to spread it out. But the brands are going to have to play each other.
They are, Joe. And really, Miami was the most watched team in the ACC. So Miami's brand is, in my opinion, is the most powerful nationally. And the numbers support that. But people want to see those matchups, like you said. I think that's really one of the secrets of success of the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten is the historic matchup. Of course, those conferences have been in place a lot longer than this current version of the ACC. And you're going to have to make sure that you continue to put those teams against each other to get the TV numbers and to increase the popularity.
Yeah, increase the popularity, make people watch it. The league needs to be more compelling. The league doesn't need more. I hate to say this because Dave Clawson stepped down today, but they don't need more Wake Forest, more Duke, more Virginia. I don't mean to, I haven't taken a shot at those programs because half the time you watch them play, you fall asleep. But what people want is the personality of Miami. So let Miami be Miami. They want to see Florida State be Florida State. They want Clemson brings a certain pizzazz. So let Clemson be Clemson. By the way, a salute to Clemson. They won a postseason game in 14 straight years. Now, we got like one bowl win in the last 100, it feels like. They got a postseason win in 14 straight years. Either it's a ACC championship game, playoff game, or bowl game. That's pretty darn good. So the league needs to be more compelling, needs to be more attractive, and they need to let the brands be the brands. Stop muzzling them.
Can't add anything to that, sir. I mean, you're 100% right.
I think I'm going to be the damn commissioner soon.
Well, I think you already are the unofficial commissioner. So you're in a good spot. You're in a good spot.
I'm just saying the league needs to be more interesting, more compelling. They've got some good players. Have some look at the great coaches in the league now. And I mentioned this Clemson, 14 straight years of the postseason win. That's pretty freaking good.
Yeah, it is. You're right. So it's they have to do it for numerous reasons. The league has got to gain more attention because it attracts the players. I mean, that's the other part of it, is you want the most attractive league or a compelling league so you can attract the top talent around the United States of America. And when you think of how it's divided up, I mean, Miami's got the West Coast tie-ins, and then they've got Texas now tied in to the ACC, and SMU has done a good job the last couple of years, especially this year. Heck, they're a playoff team. And that attracts a ton of attention being from the state of Texas. And then, you know, the California part of it has been fairly competitive. I mean, Miami was certainly in a dogfight. And you've got everything in between. You know, you've got both coasts covered, and you've got the South covered with in Dallas with SMU. So you can create a tremendous amount of interest because you've got people cross-pollinating in this conference, and that's what's important.
Okay, I'll tell you what's compelling and interesting. That's Williamson Cadillac. They're compelling, they're interesting, and they are loyal. And by the way, we got 1 week until you-know-who comes down the chimney, comes knocking on the door. So you got 1 week, the countdown is on, and Williamson Cadillac is there to make this next week as easy as possibly can be. Easy peasy for you at Williamson Cadillac, because customers are treated like family. You're going to enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson, yep, he's the big man there. He's Santa Claus. Mrs. Claus, Carol Williamson. New vehicles are arriving daily. They make sure of that, which means Williamson is absolutely going to have the new Cadillac you're looking for. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6. How about the new all-electric Lyriq? Good friend of mine is driving the Lyriq. I can't get him out of it. He's in it all the time. Darn near wants to sleep in it. The all-new electric Lyriq. You've got them all at Williamson Cadillac. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle? You want to get the most out of living here in South Florida? You want to be the big dog in town? Williamson Cadillac is ready to serve you. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your premier luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, back on the show. Have my broadcast partners with me now. I don't know why I don't do this more often. Got our broadcast team together here, the whole band together. We got Josh Darrow, Don Bailey Jr. with us. We're going to be in Orlando on the 28th for a 3:30 kickoff and 11:30 in the morning pregame show, all coming from all over the state of Florida. So, Josh, how you doing tonight?
I'm holding down the fort at Don Bailey Flooring, so this is appropriate that we are all together. Plus, I saw the fine owner of this company earlier today, and he was wearing his orange and green, so he's already ready.
Yeah, he wants to make sure you're selling. We were talking about Cam Ward earlier, and nobody I'm not sure if anybody had a better view of Cam Ward all season in terms of his makeup during the game than you on the sidelines. What was your perspective of the way Cam handled this season for the Miami Hurricanes?
I think at one during one of the games, I think I might have mentioned this, but if not, I'll mention it here. He was like the assistant offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. I mean, because he would come off the sideline, and now we're in this season, you know, everyone gets to use iPads, and the first thing he'd sit down, iPad. I want the iPad. Where's the iPad? Get me the iPad. And he'd pretty much sit down, and Shannon Dawson would stand around him, and Reese Poffenberger would be by his side, and Emery Williams would be behind another shoulder, and one of the analysts would be sitting by him. But he pretty much had the iPad. He was in control of the iPad. He watched the plays. Him and Coach Dawson would talk a little bit. But there were also number of times in each and every game where as soon as he saw something, he got up from his spot. Because on the sidelines, I'm sure most people know, but just in case, all the position groups sit together. So the quarterbacks huddle together, the running backs are next to them, wide receivers kind of to the far end, and to their left are the offensive line and the tight end. And I would say 5-6 times a game at minimum, he'd watch the iPad, have a quick conversation with Coach Dawson or someone in that little group, and then he would get up and march over to the wide receivers, and he would show a play to Sam Brown or Jacoby George or Xavier Restrepo because he saw something that they wanted to do different, or they would go through some kind of their signals if he was going to check off to understand, hey, if I go to this, we're going to run this instead of that, or I need you to do this instead of that, or the receivers will come over to him. So it was completely interactive. He was extremely in control, which shouldn't be shocking if anyone has seen him speak at any point during the season. And he was the master of running this thing, and he literally ran the offense.
You know, I look back, and maybe we can reflect on the season. Don can pick up, and then Josh. This was a season the University of Miami needed. It was a big leap from 5 to 7 to 10. Going from 7 to 10 is a big deal. And, of course, they had the best player in the country, I still think, in Cam Ward. But I think they needed this. This was a season that had a lot of thrills from a broadcast standpoint. It was great to be a part of because we had so many big plays and so many big moments and so much tension and all those things that make a season and a journey fun. So many different kinds of twists to the tale of the season and so many great storylines. But when you have a season when you do rally from 35 to 10 and you play a game like you had at Louisville and you had those kind of wins, I think it helps the DNA of your program, Don, going forward.
No, it really does, Joe, and it just proves to the nation and to all the Hurricane fans that Coach Cristobal does have a blueprint for success. And we've seen the talent level increase. We've seen his ability to recruit high school players, how that's been productive. You've seen how he's been able to go into the portal and add important additions to this team. And you look at this entire year and how they managed it. And again, I go back to the leadership that was in place and who he gave the honor of being a leader to this team. And those guys have a lot to be proud of. I mean, they're looking at a team that Miami is looking at a season where they haven't won 11 games in almost 25 years. So, I mean, it's a situation where he built it in year one or tore it down really and started building it back, and it's coming into play. And I think that's very, very important, and it bodes well for the future. It bodes well for 2025 and 26 and 27, that this is the foundation's being laid for success for many, many years.
So to pick up on that and to pick up on what you said, Joe, is I was thinking about as you were asking the question, what the answer would be is we were in the national headlines all season long. Well, I mean, for the right reasons. I mean, there were some times where it's, you know, who's going to be the next coach. But I'm like, we were a nationally relevant program all season long because of what we did on the field as a team. And then obviously, you know, individually, you know, led by Cam Ward and some other players as well as Avery Restrepo, et cetera. But, and that's where they wanted to push this team. And that's where this team needed to go. This program really needed to go because understanding when you get to that, when you start making those kind of leaps and jumps, everything about the football program becomes relevant. At this time of year, you know, with roster acquisition, signing day, NIL, you know, playoff conversation, all of that stuff, all, like, we get very narrow-minded relative to who we are and what we are as the University of Miami because this is what we live, eat, and breathe. But when, like, you got the programs that we're winning lately and the teams we were trying to catch up to were all nationally relevant programs, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Notre Dame, all those schools, right? And we were up there with those teams in that conversation. That's the goal. That's where Coach Cristobal wants to get this program. I think he understood once he got Cam Ward back in the spring, like he had a shot. He had somebody really special on his hands, and I think he should be applauded for identifying that, getting him in, and then also understanding what was left to be done in the spring portal period, you know, to put this team in a position to have this kind of season. And so this is where he wants to be, regardless of whether we did or did not get in. We were on the doorstep of the playoff, and that's the next step in getting this program to where everybody wants it to be. But again, we were headline of Sports Center, had front pages of websites, trending on social media, all that kind of stuff that put the University of Miami football program front and center.
Yeah, with a guy in New York on Saturday, and then that was refreshing to see. We'll wrap this part of the conversation up with this. This is the selfish part of the conversation because we're in the broadcast business, and the way the season ended, that hurt. That was a painful way the regular season ended, because when you're in this business, you want to be in the big game. You don't get many chances to call the big ones, and we haven't had those chances because it just hasn't worked out that way with the records. But now they're right there on the doorstep, and maybe I forgot how painful it is when you don't cross the goal line. but I think the good news would be there are going to be more opportunities in the future. It was a painful finish, and hopefully, you know, a week from Saturday, you kind of get a little bit of reward there in the bowl game. They play great and come away with an 11th win, which make that offseason a lot shorter. But as Josh mentioned, we were on the doorstep of personally calling a very big one. Didn't quite get there, but it sure was fun being in all the big ones we had this season.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about, right, Joe? I mean, if you're a University of Miami fan, you want to play the best. You want to go on the road. We did that in California and Florida, and came back with some big wins there. And you look at this season, and I just see it as building blocks. And I saw that really Cam Ward, when you think about how he changed his game the last 25%, the last 3-4 games of the season, from being a more pocket-conscious quarterback, a guy that was more really focused on what he was ability to get from the defense versus the forces and the running around and all of the things that happened at the beginning of the year. And this team built on it. And 10 wins is very, very, very difficult. I mean, it's the second time, Joe, in 20-plus years that this has happened. So, to me, there's nothing to be ashamed of in winning 10 wins. I understand the disappointment because everybody thought when we were at 9 wins and undefeated that everything the rest of the year, Miami was going to be undefeated, and that just didn't turn out that way. But it certainly was an outstanding season as far as statistically, but also if you're a fan, you had to be excited about how fun these Canes were to watch.
Well, Mr. Wood, one small aside, as excited as we were, have you seen the temperatures for these games?
Well, yeah, SMU is good. I saw Rhett Lashley say today, well, we're not playing the weather. You know, our players have to understand.
You're talking about it from a broadcast. I'm playing the weather. I'm down there on that field for 4 or 5 hours. So
yeah, well,
I was
you'd
playing
have a nice
the weather.
Overcoat. The window would be done. The window would be open, by the way. Don, open window for Penn State, 20 degrees.
I already see Don's got the beanie, 2 layers of long johns. How many? I don't know how many layers you got up top.
You got me figured out, gentlemen.
It would have been a night game. So, and the window.
Oh my God! It'd have been awesome. It'd have been a lot of fun. It'd have been a lot of fun. But you know, it's fun to be in it too. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a fun year. This honestly, like this. I remember the moment I came back from Gainesville and I walked in the house that night or the next day, and I just was looking at Rebecca and I was smiling, you know, and I was just genuinely just joyous. And I was like, man, I hadn't felt that way in a while. And it was that year. That's how this year kind of was. I know it didn't go exact. The end was a little bit of a thud, but I mean, there were a lot of smiles this year. That's all I know. A lot of smiles, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of, you know, post-game get-togethers. We're upbeat. You know what I mean? We've been in those parking lots for some down moments too. You know what I mean? Where it's kind of hanging our head. Really? So there was a lot of good times this year. That's all I know. A lot of fun, good, memorable moments. If you were a Cane or from our point of view, calling it.
All I know is they pulverized Florida and the season could have ended right then and there. I would have been good.
Thank you. Thank you.
One and oh, Coach Cristobal, he would have got his wish. 1-0. I would have been good right then and there.
Yeah.
Pulverizing Florida. Okay. Let me jump into this real fast. How about this? Okay. Clemson's at Texas. Number one, mighty Texas. The game's not sold out yet. Texas is not sold this game out.
I don't think any. None of these games are sold out, right?
I don't think so. But Texas is not sold out. Texas's defense has held 10 of their 13 opponents to 17 points or less. In their last five games, they've allowed 10 first-half points. But I think Clemson might surprise them. I wouldn't be surprised if Moffa has a big game, Brenningstuhl, the tight end, is a big game. Klubnik's had a hell of a season. As I mentioned, they've won a postseason game, Clemson, 14 years in a row. I don't know.
Joe, I expect them to show up. I really do. And I don't think you underestimate the experience of Dabo Swinney in playoff games and then championship games compared to Sarkisian in Texas. I think there's a big difference there as far as how many times you've gone. And, you know, you're a couple interceptions away. You're a couple fumbles away. And then special teams, I think you guys were talking about the weather. I think that's going to be a big part of these games as well, because you start dealing in the cold weather and the special teams, and that's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, look, Clemson's this is what they've done. This is where they've lived. This is where they've been. It's how their program was born. They knocked on that door for a while, and then they broke through it, and now they're back at it. You look at Texas. The strength of their team is the defense. You think it's the offense. Now Clemson has not fared two losses to SEC teams this year. So, you know, we'll see how that comes into play. But Dabo is used to being on the stage. But Coach Sarkisian is, you know, he was at Alabama and he's been here, and he's had Texas. He's used to this as well. So it'll be an interesting matchup.
Okay, the other game. All right, how do you think these numbers would fly in Miami? You ready? James Franklin, 1-14 against top 5, 3-19 against the top 10, 13-28 against the top 25. He's 1-14 against the top 5. If that was here, they'd be flying banners over a playoff game site. SMU goes there. This kind of hurts. Harrison Hunt was first team all ACC. First thing they got to do, SMU, is shut down the run. Harrison Hunt and Harvey had a hell of a season for them on the defensive line, and they got a pretty damn good linebacker who was a first-team or second-team All-ACC player. It's going to be 20 degrees at kickoff. I love the way Rhett Lashley puts together an offense. I wouldn't be surprised if SMU beats them. James Franklin, 1-14 against the top 5, 3-19 against the top 10.
Well, I think the best thing is that they've got the jitters out of the way from the ACC championship game. You know, that SMU was not SMU for sure the first quarter of that game. And I think that overall experience is going to help them, because, you know, I would say that Clemson physically, speed wise, coaching wise is better than a Penn State has been. So they're going to walk into an environment that's not going to be as intimidating. Now they're going to have to deal with the cold weather, but it gets cold in Dallas, and you know, you just got to deal with that type of thing. And it's also they're going to be on the road, but they won on the road everywhere they went this year, except for week one, I believe it was, and then of course the championship game. But you look at this, and I'm with you, Joe. I would not underestimate SMU against Penn State.
By the way, Penn State's not going through that game with zero penalties the way Clemson did in the ACC championship game. I just thought I'd throw that out there again.
Get your shot. Get your shot. You know, they make a quarterback change this year. They lose their best weapon in Russell Maryland's kid, and then talk about SMU, and they still persevere. The thing that's SMU, I mean, the thing that Penn State will have to deal with is the speed of SMU. I know it's the cold weather, et cetera, but man almighty, that linebacker you're talking about, Kobe Wilson, is the kid too. I know by numbers. He's all over the field. And offensively, you know, Brett Lashley took Rashard Smith, put him the running back. The guy's a 1,000-yard rusher, and they've got, you know, receivers on the outside. And this kid Jennings just, I mean, he's poised. You know, he was made for this moment and has come through all year for them, even after the change earlier in the year. So, you know, Penn State's going to have to keep up. Penn State's going to have to keep up with SMU. I think that instead of maybe the other way around, Penn State's going to have to keep up with SMU.
All right. Well, we had a lot of fun this year. Josh did a great job on the sidelines. Don, obviously, always right there with the analysis. We got one more crack at it on December 28th, so look forward to that.
That we do, guys. We'll go up to Orlando and take care of business and bring home 11-win season. That should make a lot of folks happy.
So we get that trophy. We get to like pop the Pop-Tarts right on site, right? Like they come right out of that toaster trophy.
Yeah. I mean, grab me one. I like strawberry frosted, please.
Hey, I just want to know about Joe Z, man. If it's got frosting on it, he's going to eat it.
I think they make chocolate covered.
That doesn't matter. Right? That part doesn't matter. If there's frosting and sprinkles, give it to Joe Z. He's good.
Send in my direction. Maybe we can get him at halftime instead of peanut butter and jelly.
I'm down.
All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
See you guys. Have a good night.
All right. Don Bailey Jr., Josh Darrow. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Hotline. Coach Larrañaga is coming up in hour number two, 7 o'clock hour. Coach L will talk college basketball. Brandon Johnson also will join us as well. That's all coming up in hour number two of the show here on QAM.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, thanks to Don Bailey Jr. and Josh Darrow for joining us on the show. On Saturday, Hurricanes basketball, Mount St. Mary, final non-conference game of the season, final non-conference game. Mount St. Mary, 2 o'clock is tip-off. We'll be on there at 1:30 here on QAM. Danny Rabinowitz will join me for that one, 2 o'clock tip-off. And then a week from Saturday, it's Miami and Iowa State at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And kickoff's at 3:30. We'll be on the air at 11:30 in the morning. And right now, Cam Ward is a go to play. He throws a touchdown pass. He becomes the all-time leader in career touchdown passes. He's sitting on 155, so one more. He breaks Case Keenum's record for most career passing touchdowns. He's got 155 right now, looking for 156 and more at the Pop-Tarts Bowl. When we come back, we'll talk with University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We'll talk about what it's been like in this non-conference season, plus the one conference game against Clemson, what's coming up. It's been a bit of a struggle. He'll give us his perspective on this, why he's feeling a little bit better about the situation, all of that and more coming up with Coach Larrañaga right after this.